I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now. I've got a stomach pain that's low, fungus on my toe, and I need you now. He's from Central DuPage Hospital. Call Dr. Moose right now.
Welcome to Larry Wirt's favorite part of the program. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. Dr. Kevin Moose joins us now. You know, this is the only segment all week that Larry Wirt, the guy that runs his company, it's the only segment all week he listens to.
This is it.
This is it. He loves you, so he listens to this segment. Otherwise, he's trying to get the job with Eric. He wants it to be Eric and Larry.
Hey, well, you know, for those people who don't know Larry, he is an absolute gentleman, a great guy, and I had the opportunity to meet his son, Charlie, who's just a great kid as well.
So. Charlie's a great kid, Larry. I'm not that
really
fond
is?
Of.
Yeah.
All right, so before we get to the topic at hand, Meditech, you know, there's tech and medical. We talk about it a fair amount, but we never have enough time to cover everything because, frankly, there's more to it every single day. But before we get into that, Medicaid. Huge budget cuts proposed by the president this week. Are you guys on the front end of this? Have you heard much about it?
Yeah, you know, we're concerned. We're obviously really concerned because, you know, a couple things. One, what's happening at the federal level, and two, what's happening at the state level. Last week was the first, was the deadline for which insurance companies were going to jump into the marketplace here in Illinois. And unfortunately, we've dropped a few and added a couple that we're really not too sure about yet. So I think choice is going to be limited here. And then again, when you start making those cuts, it does impact the hospitals. It impacts the services we can offer. And it actually impacts access because you're going to start to see doctors saying no to Medicaid patients because they can't afford to see them in the office. And now we're going to be stuck taking care of them in the hospital and have nowhere to turn. And then we're going to start to see more patients being seen in the emergency department. It is not a good setup right now.
And the problem with that, of course, is that's where we got into the situation where we needed major medical reform because the costs are through the roof, right?
Correct. I mean, it's interesting. Oh, we're going to make these cuts and save money. No, you're not, because it costs more to be cared for in an emergency department than it does in a primary care office. It costs more to take care of somebody who has heart disease than it does preventative care to prevent them from getting heart disease. We've talked about it before. It's pay me now, pay me later. And when I tell you, when you pay me later, it's going to cost a whole heck of a lot more.
So obviously,
pennies to take care of someone's high blood pressure versus millions to care for them if they have a stroke.
And it's a really bad graph when you look at it. More doctors getting out of the Medicaid business and out of the business in general. Enrollment at medical schools down. Boy, if you got a kid that's really interested in medicine, wouldn't you drive them at this point towards nurse practitioner jobs and things like that if they're not going to be a doctor? Because it just seems like they're going to be more and more need for that.
Sure. Nurse practitioners, physician's assistants, very interesting, you know, that was going to be the workforce that's going to fill the gap for the need of primary care doctors who we're not going to have enough of. And another thing that's probably really interesting that people don't understand in Illinois is we have a lot of residents who finish their finish their medical school, and now they're going on to residency, and they're leaving the state. They're leaving the state in droves. As a matter of fact, there was an article in Cranes last week saying, wow, look at all these. And I can tell you, once you go and do 3, 4, 5, 6 years at a residency outside of the state, you're not going to be rushing back to the state that's in the financial condition that ours is to practice. So very concerning as far as how we're going to be able to recruit doctors back to Illinois.
And so people understand that. That's part of them because of reimbursement being less and slow?
Yeah, absolutely. Probably the biggest thing right now is you have a lot of doctors saying, you know what, I haven't been paid by Medicaid. I haven't, you know, I'm waiting this much time. It looks like reimbursement's going to go down. You can have a larger uninsured population. That's not a formula for people being attracted to the area.
So with that good news, we'll talk about medical tech here now. And the technology thing in medicine, new jobs are being created every single day, talking about, you know, what your kid ought to do with their life. This is another area for kids to look into. If you have any interest in science and medicine and technology, they don't just have to go write code for the latest video game, because every day, you know, medicine to me, Doc, is the new space program, because a lot of the breakthroughs we've gotten in space now that turn into future technology seem like they're coming out of your field.
Well, it is kind of cool. You know, as we start to look at just what we were talking about before, we have to be more efficient in how we're going to provide care, and technology is certainly going to help that. And you make a very good point. You know, people that are trying to decide what fields to go into and if medicine attracts them, but they don't want to, biomedical engineering, I mean, someone had to come up with how we are going to design new equipment to care for patients faster, better, and safer.
So let's talk about robot surgery. A lot of people hear robot surgery and they go, I don't want a robot operating on me. No, you still have a human element to it. And in some cases, this has made certain surgeries more routine and more successful, hasn't it?
Absolutely. It is kind of interesting. You hear that robotic surgery. Oh, man, we have robots. And we really don't. But what we have is something called robotic surgery, where we have instruments placed into the body. And the physician, the surgeon, is actually sitting at a console, probably 5, 10, 15 feet away, where he is looking at this high-definition picture that has been blown up, and he has controls that allow him to manipulate the equipment that's in the body. This has allowed very fine surgery to occur, because the movement of the hands on the equipment is then magnified as it goes into the body. And the picture that they're looking at, although we have fiber optics for a long time now, is blown up and the definition is so much better. So it's allowed us to do surgery where we used to have a little bit more problems, much easier. So prostate surgery, even now we're even doing gallbladder surgery and colon surgery, but probably the more finer surgeries, the robotics are really helpful. It just takes a little bit more time.
And is there tracking information yet on complications and, you know, post-surgery success rates compared to when just the regular old human beings were doing all of it?
Oh, absolutely. That's tracked very closely. So in prostate surgery, definitely the individual who can have the robotic surgery at the hands of a talented robotic surgeon is probably going to have a much better outcome than someone who's going to have what we call an open procedure. The other ones, the jury's kind of out. Because like I said, you're under longer, so you're under anesthesia longer, you're in the operating room longer. We have doctors who can do gallbladder surgery in a fairly short period of time versus robotic surgery where it takes, you know, a couple hours. So there's pros and cons to both of it, but the outcomes for some of them are much better, with much better lower side effects and much quicker recovery time is probably the most important thing.
Yeah, and after traffic, I want to get Grzanich in here, because Grzanich is a robot and believes that he and his robot colleagues will take over the world soon. But he knows this robotic stuff, and I'm sure he's got a couple of questions for you as well, so we'll get Steve in here on that. Before I let you take a breath here before traffic, Senator Durbin was on last week and talked about his surgery, which is it called heart ablation? Is that the term?
Correct.
And yep. In and out in a day.
Yeah, how about it? It's pretty cool. And, you know, he did a pretty good job actually explaining what it is. You know, we've always talked about the heart being a mechanical pump, but it has electrical wires that run through it that tell it how to pump and when to pump and what time. And sometimes those go a little haywire. And we go in there with instruments, and we kind of burn little areas and stop those irregular electrical activity so that the heart beats more efficiently. So good for him. He had it at Northwestern. It's done at many different hospitals. CDH does it. Almost every hospital does it. But good for him, and glad that he had a great outcome.
Yeah, he did. And he's not a kid anymore, but he stays in great shape, certainly, which helps. But it's really fascinating, because a lot of people say, oh, you know, you have a baby, you're out in 3 hours, you this or that. It's all the insurance companies are kicking people out of the hospital. But the bottom line is, well, there's always insurance considerations. It seems to be the reason people are going in and out of hospitals faster is because you guys are better at it than you've ever been.
We are. And like I said, we talk about technology. We're doing things now that we would have laughed at 5-10 years ago. So it is amazing some of the stuff that they're doing in the cardiology world as well.
Come back. Steve Grzanich, robot. We'll ask Doc about robots. Stand by for that. Steve, do you need oil or anything?
No, I am fine. Thank you.
All right, fine. Hope. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. Dr. Kevin Most rejoins us. Steve Grzanich in the newsroom. Say hi to Doc, Steve.
Hi, Doc. Good morning.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. You know, one of the questions I had, and this is, may not be like with the surgery of robots, with robots, but the use of these little, I don't even know what you call them, they're putting them into the blood system, they're using them to treat cancer. Those are little robots, aren't they, that are going like specifically to those areas to fight those diseases, right?
Yeah, it's kind of cool. What you're talking about is nanotechnology and nanoparticles. And we've talked about them in the past. The cool thing about it, and it's really advancing quickly in medicine, is the ability to, exactly what you said. So you have a cancer, and if I can, instead of me giving you chemotherapy that's going to just wreak havoc with your entire body, with your stomach, with your hair, everything, if I can put that into a nanoparticle and have it go search out and find the cancer, attach to the cancer, and then deploy the chemotherapy, one, you use less chemotherapy. Two, it's much more concentrated in the area where you want it to be. And three, you have less side effects. So certainly nanotechnology, nanoparticles are definitely very hot and very something that people are looking at. So they're a little bit computer, but they're really more of the technology side of how do I go out and find that tumor.
So nanotech are the things that literally float through your bloodstream to whatever area they're supposed to go. How do they know when to stop?
It's exactly the part, the problem. So what we know that if you had took a cancer cell, on the outside of that cancer cell are different particles, are different proteins. What we need to do is to teach the nanoparticle to just look for that protein, and that's what it attaches
so
to.
So like a hitman. They're just going
exactly.
Through. Yeah, like a little, Steve, it's a little mafia nanotech.
Very cool.
And it doesn't do anything until it attaches. So if it doesn't attach, you don't get any chemotherapy. It eventually gets cleared. But if it attaches, then it deploys its chemotherapy.
Steve, do you have a follow-up, or do you need to return to your planned overthrow of the world?
No. I just, the other part of this, too, is I saw recently some video of nurses and other medical assistants being trained with these robots that not only show you exactly how to do CPR, but they do all kinds of different diseases and emergencies. They play the victims. And is that being used in hospitals now, too, to teach, you know, instead of having those little stupid little dummies that we used to see for CPR?
Yeah, absolutely. We have, we're fortunate, and a lot of other hospitals are fortunate too, to have what we call simulation lab. And the simulation lab is amazing. It's not just the old simple plastic, dummies that you used to do. It's actually very lifelike, unfortunately, or fortunately, to be honest with you, where the patient talks to you, the patient actually cries, the patient, does things, and we're learning, we're able to teach nurses and doctors techniques, we're able to put them in very stressful situations in a simulation lab so that they get used to it, so that when it happens in real life, they're ready for it. So sim labs are very big, and we're fortunate we have a very cool sim lab here at CDH. Northwestern has one. A lot of hospitals have great sim labs, which allows training in a non-threatening environment so that when you're put in that stressful situation, you can do it.
So in medicine, you think we'll be working alongside robots as opposed to being replaced by them?
Yeah, and I think, Steve, one of the probably the cooler things that we're doing is IBM Watson. I mean, if you're thinking about robots, just look at Google, IBM Watson or Watson Health. It's probably the more fascinating thing about how we're using artificial intelligence to learn quicker and to make a big impact on a whole bunch of things. So I think we'll have robots that are going to help us. I think we're going to have artificial intelligence that's going to help us quite a bit. But I think there's always going to be that touching feeling of the physician that's going to be very important.
What's new in EKGs?
Well, it's kind of interesting. EKGs, people know what an EKG is. It's electrocardiogram. Their doctor may even show it to them, and all they see is a bunch of blips and lines. So that's, Mr. Durbin, his EKG was very abnormal. Prior to the technology, we had doctors that had to sit with calipers and do all these measurements on these EKGs. Now we have the machines that essentially read the EKGs after comparing it to hundreds and millions of them. They know exactly what to look for. And then the cardiologist is then able to verify that the machine has read it right and look for any other subtleties. Cuts down the time to read an EKG in a fraction of the time now.
And you guys have the mobile CT scan possibility, right? If you got to do a CT scan to be able to roll it out in your minivan, that's pretty cool.
That is cool. We're bringing technology closer to the patient, which allows for quicker treatment. Yeah, we are fortunate. But, the patient who has a stroke, our goal is to get the clot-busting drug in them as quickly as possible if we can or if they need it. So if you can do a CAT scan in someone's driveway, you can get that drug started 45 minutes earlier. That makes a big impact on the outcome of the individual for their mental skills as well as their motor skills.
What is AI and how does it play in medicine?
Well, artificial intelligence, we're starting to figure out that, this again, IBM Watson, how do we use artificial intelligence? When we're residents in medical schools and residents, the goal is to be exposed to as much as you possibly can because you want to learn. You want to say, okay, that's what a heart sounds like. That's what a lung sounds like. This is what I should look for. With artificial intelligence, we're able to put all that information into computers and learn a lot faster. Journals come out every single day, and I can tell you, every doctor, they're probably sitting there listening, laughing. We have stacks of journals on our desk, and we go through the journals, and we pull out the pages that we want. Watson can read, IBM Watson can read every journal made in a year in 3 seconds.
So what you do, we do, so I mean, I don't want to oversimplify this, but do we need more Watsons?
We do need more Watsons. You know, and Watson, it's kind of interesting. If everybody remembers, they won, you know, Watson won Jeopardy.
Right.
And then they really said, okay, we're going to take Watson and we're going to put it into the oncology world. And they made a huge impact on oncology and how we treat cancer patients because they were able to put a whole bunch of studies together at one. And now they can look at individual oncology patients. They're doing a great thing at University of North Carolina with Watson. But now Watson said, you know what? Or IBM has said, you know what? Watson's smarter than this. Watson now is looking at imaging. They're looking at life sciences, which is how do we design new drugs and how do we design new devices. Probably one of the more interesting things they're also doing is they're looking at government. They're looking at the fraud and waste so that we can cut costs there. And then they're looking at chronic illnesses. So Watson, to me, is fascinating. And take imaging, for example. Radiologists are taught to look at a film, and they know what to look for, and they know what's abnormal. Well, Watson bought a company called, excuse me, IBM bought a company called Merge that has billions of images. They're going to teach Watson what to look for. So now the radiologist is going to be just like the cardiologist. Let the computer look at it, and then you go back and verify it. So now waiting 45 minutes, 2 hours, 3 hours for the reading of a CAT scan will be done much quicker with the radiologist verifying it.
And again, better outcomes. Before I let you go, this all, to some extent, falls under the category of telehealth, too. With less doctors, you know, in the future,